Johnny Ramsey is on our program today.
Hebrews 9:27 proclaims, "Is appointed a man once to die, after this cometh judgment. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render unto every man according as his work is." Jesus proclaims on the last page of the Bible, Revelation 22:12. "But no one knows the day or the hour when the Lord shall come," Matthew 24:36. "In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh," Matthew 25:13. But Paul wrote succinctly in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Solomon closes inspired writing on his part in Ecclesiastes 12. And the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. This is Solomon's soliloquy, his last will and testament. The wisest man of his day, the wealthiest man of any day, said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Paul echoes that in the New Testament era in 2 Corinthians 5:10-11. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the deeds done in his body, according to that if done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel," Paul is inspired to write in Romans 2:16. "He will render unto every man according as his work is," Romans 2:6. "When life's journey shall have ended and we stand before the throne, when the book of life is open and the deeds of man made known, when the Lord shall meet the world and shall judge the lives of all, when all men are rightly parted, then reaper's cry shall call, when the righteous are rewarded and the wicked know their end, will the world at last remember that a Savior died for men." In introducing this lesson, Dave Miller quoted from an old gospel song, "There's a great day coming by and by. There's a bright day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for that day to come? And there's a sad day coming by and by. It'll either be bright or sad according to whether we obey the Lord or not, whether we live the Christian life or not, whether we devote ourselves to truth or not. For Jesus said, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' And if I make you free," Jesus said, "you'll be free indeed." John 8:31, 32, and 36. "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth," Jesus prayed in John 17:17. "The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth," John 16:13. "And so we'd better get accustomed to obeying the truth by which we'll be judged." Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day." So when that day appointed by God reveals itself, the final accounting day, when all nations shall be gathered before Him, Matthew 25:31, He'll either say to those on His right hand, "Come, ye righteous of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," or He will say to the wicked on the left hand, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." And they go into everlasting punishment. Hell is just as long as heaven. Heaven and hell have the same endurance, forever and ever, unending, eternity. So the decisions we make in this life will determine where we spend eternity. In John 5:28-29, our blessed Lord made it very clear. "Marvel not at this, the hour cometh when all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And it's interesting, in 2 Thessalonians 1:4-10, in fact, the whole first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, which deals with the second coming of Christ, which no one knows when it will be. He'll come as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. We learn what will happen when, adverb of time, when He comes. The righteous will have eternal rest with the redeemed of all ages. But those who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. So what an awesome day that will be. The final day. The day of accounting for all who've ever lived. John said, "The great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Revelation 6:17. Perhaps the most graphic, moving words of the whole Bible in Revelation 20. Begin with verse 11. John was writing what God revealed unto him. That's how we get the name Revelation. Revealing. What you see, John, write in a book. And in Revelation 20, the ultimate scene. I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, so that there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And from the Garden of Eden forward, death means in the Bible separation from God. And the second death means ultimate, eternal, absolute, forever separation from God. I don't want that to happen to me or to you. And so we present what the Bible says about pertinent factors in regard to the judgment day when our Lord comes without warning, without fanfare, suddenly, abruptly, as a thief in the night. Will we be ready? The only way to be ready is to stay ready. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I know you've heard that through your life, but it's still true. And a lot of people living in sin and shame and rebellion and anarchy in the spiritual realm are not ready. Absolutely not ready. Whittier, one of the greatest poets who ever touched on religious themes, said, graphically, "Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." And I believe the worst thing about people being lost eternally and going to hell is they didn't need to come to that sad station in life, in death, and in eternity. It might have been. I've always said one of the most graphic thoughts I ever have is, am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? Or am I like that one talent man who lived beneath his privileges? In the day of judgment, I'll not only give an account, you'll not only give an account for what you did accomplish, but what you could have and should have accomplished. Read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, which precedes the judgment day scene of that same chapter. I believe the Lord's trying to tell us something. We need to give of our best to the Master and hold back nothing from His spiritual service. But a lot of people are really lazy when it comes to spiritual endeavors, and they think that they'll just get by because God is so good. The only thing I know about God is what He reveals in the Bible, though. And He says there's a place called hell, awaiting the disobedient, awaiting the atheist, agnostic, skeptic, rationalist, and those who obey not the gospel of the Son of God. Must be a serious matter, this judgment day that we're pressing toward. Let's see if we can go through the Bible and pick up some refrains, some strains of Scripture and inspiration that will help us to be better people and be prepared. One of the best verses in the Bible on judgment and God the Judge is Genesis 18:25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that's a rhetorical question, meaning, yea, verily, He'll do what's right. He'll place us where we belong. We may bribe an officer on the highway. We may cheat and steal and lie and convince people we're something we're not. But in the day of judgment, all that outward veneer and hypocrisy will be wiped away and we'll stand naked before the presence of God as far as our spiritual endeavors and give an account for what we did instead of what we claim that we accomplished. Years ago, I heard a poem. You can fool the hapless public. You can be a subtle fraud. You can hide your little meanness, but you can't fool God. You can advertise your virtues. You can self-achievement laud. You can boast yourself somebody, but you can't fool God. And we'll be judged according to the deeds we've done in our own body. There's no magic eraser that we can buy to erase all those things we did that were not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord did say under the terms of the New Covenant, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But we have to abide by His teachings and obey His commands for that promise to be true. He didn't say there's a heaven for the righteous and a heaven for the unrighteous. He said there are only two ways. The broad way, the wide gate that leads to perdition, to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. And straight is the gate and narrow the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. The majority has never, ever been right. The majority has never, ever been saved. People who say 900 million people can't be wrong, why, 6 billion people could be wrong. Truth doesn't reside in the majority or the minority. Truth is truth if no one believes it or if everyone believes it. And God's Word is truth, John 17:17. And we'll be judged by His Word, John 12:48. So it behooves us to prepare to meet God. You know, when Amos said that in Amos 4:12, he did not mean, as many preachers leave the impression, you can prepare to avoid judgment. They were on the brink of bondage and captivity which they had earned. He said, you only have time to get prepared for the judgment of bondage. You have earned it, you've deserved it, and you're going to get it. And Babylonian captivity followed. Assyrian captivity too. So the point is, when he said, prepare to meet thy God, he simply meant you can only prepare to meet him in judgment. It's too late to prepare to miss his judgment. Read Amos 4:12. For the next chapter says, when the day of the Lord comes, he said, you're going to be like those who flee from a lion and a bear meets him. You run in the house and lean your hand against the wall and a snake bites you. You prayed for the day of the Lord to come upon evil men, and now it's come and you're the evil man. Read Amos 5 and see if that isn't true. And so we need to live in such a way that we're prepared whenever he comes, whether soon or late, morning or night. He will come without warning. And that's fair for everybody. We need to always stay prepared to meet God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? All through the Old Testament prophets, and all you'd have to do today is get you a big print Bible where you can see it jump out of the pages pretty easily and go over the prophets, especially what are called the minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi, the last 12 Old Testament books. But it's also in the major prophets too. And I think referred to in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I believe he's talking about the day of impending doom against the Roman Empire that had persecuted and captivated God's people. And their doom was coming, their day of judgment, when they'd crumble into the dust and no longer be a worldwide fame. There'd be nothing. There'd be zero. That day is coming upon them. And the book of Revelation teaches that it did. And so the day of the Lord, all the way through the Old Testament, doesn't mean the end of the world. It means a day of impending doom right then and there upon evil nations that have subdued God's people. But the final day of judgment overwhelms that. Instead of temporary judgment upon certain wicked nations, a final judgment day for everybody. And the only way to be prepared is stay prepared. Now let's see if we can analyze this and get it down to the fine point of being ready for the judgment day. I believe there are five great Bible truths that magnify this position and bring us face to face with the judgment, and they're taught all the way through the Bible. The first point is, life is short. Isaac spoke for all of us in Genesis 27:2 when he said, I know not the day of my death. 2 Samuel 14:14 says, we must all surely die. And are as water spilt upon the ground that can never be gathered again. There's but a step between me and death. 1 Samuel 20:3. The summer is ended, the harvest is past, and we're not saved. The wailing cry of the weeping prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 8:20. Israel waited and all hope was lost. Ezekiel 19:5. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. Man is like a breath. His days are but a passing shadow. Psalm 144:4. Remember how short my time is. Psalm 89:47. For our life is but a tale that is told. Psalm 90:9. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Psalm 90:12. Life is short. James hauntingly asks in one of the finest verses in all the Bible to get our attention, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. James 4:14. Peter adds to the refrain, all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 1:24-25. All the way through the Bible, the emphasis is, life is brittle, uncertain, short. We need to use it properly. But that's not the only thing the Bible teaches in view of the judgment day. Death is sure. It is appointed a man once to die after this cometh judgment. We read of an evil man who died in 2 Chronicles 21:20, and nobody cared. To no one's regret. Perhaps no one attended the funeral, as we'd say today. But blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and the works do follow them. Revelation 14:13. Jesus said, of evil men you shall die in your sins. And where I go you cannot come. John 8:21. And so we need to utilize this life in view of death in such a way as to live obedient, Christ-centered, heaven-bound, God-honoring, soul-saving lives. Life is short. Death is sure. It's appointed a man once to die after this coming judgment. The Bible echoes again from Hebrews 9:27 that life is short and death is sure. You remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5? They thought they'd saved some money for selfish use by themselves, and they lied to God, and they were struck dead right on the spot and buried side by side in that evening. Acts chapter 5. I know they didn't think death was coming soon. We ought to be like Paul and live in such a way that whenever death comes, soon or late, that's no problem. He said in 2 Timothy 4, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. In 2 Kings 20, verse 1, Isaiah the prophet said to Hezekiah the king, set your house in order, for ye shall die and not live. And I guarantee you, unless the Lord comes before we die, we will die, and then we'll face judgment. Life is short, death is sure, judgment is certain. We have given plenty of verses to prove that point. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, as Paul finishes his brilliant oration before the intelligentsia of his day on Mars Hill in Athens, he says, at the times of this ignorance, talking about idolatrous worship, at the times of this ignorance, God overlooked. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherewith he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. So life is short, death is sure, judgment is certain. And now we come to the clincher on the sad side of the ledger. Sin is reality. You can't whistle past the graveyard and erase it. You can't stick your hand in the sand and ignore it. Sin is reality. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam and Eve sinned that great transgression, they were purged from the garden, the presence of God, and from the tree of life. And men are not ushered back to that beautiful, serene place, that paradise of God, until they've obeyed the commandments of Christ. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates in the city. Sin had an overwhelming power from the Garden of Eden to the cross of Christ. Listen to Micah 7. The best of them is like a briar. They do evil with both hands earnestly. Listen to Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Listen to Romans 1:28. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Wherefore God gave them up to reprobate minds, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Zephaniah 3:7 says, they rose up early to corrupt all their doings. Isaiah 30, verse 1, rebellious children add sin to sin. They sin more and more, Hosea 13:2 says. The way of the transgressor is hard. Fools make a mock of sin. Sin is a reproach to any people. Read Proverbs chapters 13, 14, and 15. And you realize how terribly entrenched in sin the world was until Jesus came. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is that we have through Christ the only hope over sin, death, and the judgment day. Sin is reality. Life is short. Death is sure. Judgment is certain. Sin is reality. But praise God, the last point, Christ is the only door of escape. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Call Him Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Jesus Himself said, I've come to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. He gave Himself for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2, verse 2. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present world, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, Galatians 1:4. And so, life is short, death is sure, judgment is certain, sin is reality, but Christ is the only way of escape. May God help us to so live and love and do His will that when He summons us to that final judgment day, we'll have cause for no serious regret.